You are listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. Hello and welcome to Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host. We continue our discussion of the new Messenger Insight publication from the Baptist Messenger December 15th issue on Celebrate Christmas, exploring the truths, tradition, and meaning of Christmas. And in this episode, we will be interviewing and discussing with Dr. Bobby Kelly, who is Ruth Dickinson Professor of Religion at Oklahoma Baptist University. Dr. Kelly, welcome to Messenger Insight.
Thank you, Brian. Glad to be with you.
Now, your piece was very interesting. It was called Nativity Characters, or the People of the Nativity, and you had a fascinating way of helping us sort through and think through. You began your piece by saying, only Matthew and Luke record the birth of Jesus. While the basic plot and characters are similar, each gospel highlights different aspects of the story. Could you help us by walking through, maybe beginning with the Gospel of Matthew, what you call Jesus, Son of David, Savior of His people, some of the shades of difference in the people of Christmas?
Sure. I think that's what, for me, is most interesting about the Gospels when you start comparing them, is that they all tell the same story. There's clearly, obviously, only one Jesus, but we have these four portraits of Him. In many of the scenes of his life, when it comes to the birth narrative, we only have two, which might be a little surprising. You'd think that Mark and John would think that the birth accounts were important enough to put in the story, but they were just telling the story in a different way. And John starts, in the beginning was the Word, and then skips, after going through that just a bit, then skips to the calling of the first disciples and Jesus' baptism. But it's Matthew and Luke that give us details about Jesus' birth and the events surrounding it. So when you come to those two, what you find in each one, you see the characteristics that each of them, Matthew and Luke, like to highlight about Jesus' life. So when you look at Matthew, the thing you can sort of be looking for when you read Matthew's gospel, really anywhere, but it's true in the birth narrative, Matthew's going to emphasize that Jesus' life and the things that he said and did fulfill the Old Testament. And I think Matthew wants to show that Jesus truly is the Jewish Messiah. Matthew's going to highlight, he's not going to focus on the women in the story as much as maybe Luke might do it. There's a real Jewishness to the way Matthew will tell the story, with a few exceptions. So you get into Matthew's gospel, and he starts with a genealogy, beginning in chapter 1, verse 2. But his opening verse, 1:1, which should be really important, you know, as Matthew's writing his gospel, to think the first thing I say is really going to frame my whole story. He says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. And so right off the bat, he wants to emphasize Jesus' Jewish credentials. And then you have the genealogy. And, of course, it's showing that Jesus can be traced back not only to Abraham, that's true, but probably more importantly, to David. So he's emphasizing Jesus' royal lineage and Jesus' genuine Jewishness. But so he does that. But surprisingly, in that genealogy, there are four women mentioned. And you don't have any women except Mary in Luke's genealogy. But in Matthew's, you have four. And they're not Jewish. I think probably more surprising than he has women in his genealogy, it's that they're Gentile women. And I mentioned those women in the article, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and who am I leaving out? I'm not looking at the text.
And Tamar.
And Tamar. These are all Gentile women, and there they are. And with the exception of Ruth, three of those four have a bit of a past. Rahab, of course, is sort of tagged as the harlot. Tamar dresses up like a prostitute and has sort of tricks her father-in-law, Judah, into having sexual relations with her. the wife of Uriah, the Hittite, that's Bathsheba. Of course, she's the one that David commits adultery with. And so these are just, those three women particularly, even more than Ruth, are very surprising women to be in the genealogy of Jesus. But I think Matthew certainly has a purpose in it, and maybe part of it is to say women are important in the story of Jesus. Maybe it also says that just because you have a past, you can still be used in the work of God's kingdom, because here are these, at least three of those four women, with the exception of Ruth, who have a bit of shadiness in their past. But probably most importantly is the fact that they're Gentiles. And I think Matthew is sort of hinting to us at the very beginning of his story that although this is a very Jewish story, Gentiles are still in view, that God has never forgotten the Gentiles, and in fact, the calling of Israel will be to be a light to the nations.
And I think that's an important point, Dr. Kelly, about Christ coming for all nations. And in that portion of the article, you talk about other non-Hebrews, the Magi, the wise men, and I thought that was interesting the way they are depicted, these men who have fascinated generation upon generation, inspired songs and depictions, and that was important to remember in the cast of characters in the Nativity.
Absolutely. And how we get this picture of three kings, and maybe that's because we have a song, you know, We Three Kings of Orient are, and Christmas cards we get, but I think that's just a bit misleading. There's nothing that says there were three of them. The text doesn't say that. There were three gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, but you could have had 15 people bringing three gifts. And also, there's nothing about magi that indicates royalty, really. I think more likely they were scientists of some type, the kind of people who would be interested in watching the movements of the stars and would be willing to follow them. I think we get lots of images tied up in the Christmas story that might have more to do with tradition than actually the text.
Very good point. And you also focused our attention not just on the good guys in the story, but the ultimate antagonist. Who is that, and what is his importance?
Well, of course, the ultimate antagonist, I would say, is Satan. But he uses, in Matthew's account, he uses Herod the Great, I think, as an agent attempting to destroy Messiah. And, of course, his plot fails. He tries to trick the Magi, the wise men, into going and finding this child that's been born. And then he says, then come back and tell me so I can go worship him. And you just know that that's not his intent, to find out and go worship. So when an angel appears in a vision and tells the wise men not to go tell Herod, once he figures out he's been duped, that's when he gives the decree that every child 2 years and under in the village be slaughtered. And, of course, that would have included Jesus. And if you think about the consequences, had his plot succeeded, the consequences for the whole creation would have been tragic. But an angel appears to Joseph, tells him to take the child to Egypt, and he escapes. In a scene that would remind you of Moses' birth, during the with the decree of the Pharaoh that the male Jewish children, all the Jewish children in his decree, were under decree of death at that time, and yet Moses miraculously escapes through being floated down the river in a basket, and so Jesus' birth is similar in that way. And I think Matthew, in telling that part of the story, is highlighting some parallel between Moses and Jesus. And again, I think you see more of that Jewishness in the story.
Amen. And you mentioned the angelic, and shifting gears or our attention to the Gospel of Luke, you underscore the importance of the angelic appearances and then some other interesting characters in the shepherds. Could you talk about that for a moment?
If you were looking at what does Luke typically like to highlight about Jesus' life and ministry, right at the top would be how Jesus came to the least. In fact, one of the phrases I use with my students is that in Luke's gospel, Jesus is for losers, at least the people who were considered losers in that culture. And shepherds, we sort of, I think, glorify them because of the image of Jesus as a good shepherd, because of David has a shepherd as part of his story. But the truth is, by the time the first century, shepherds in the Jewish culture were not highly esteemed. In fact, they were considered unclean, not even worthy of giving testimony in court. And the fact that these would be the first witnesses, and they are there just after the birth of Jesus. The fact that, and Matthew doesn't even mention them, but the fact that Luke put such an emphasis on them, I think highlights again how much he wants his readers to see that Jesus was for all people, even the lowest. And the irony of that is, here are the first witnesses of the birth of Jesus, God in human flesh, and they're the ones the first to go out and tell, to bear witness that the Messiah has been born, and they're people who weren't even didn't even have credibility to give testimony in a court, in a Jewish court. And it just says, you know, how differently God does things than human beings, and how people who have no status oftentimes in this world, how they have such great esteem in God's kingdom.
That's an important point, how God works in unexpected ways, and that's really comes to life in the story of the birth of our Savior. You talked also about Gabriel's announcement to Mary and then the implications with Elizabeth, and I thought that was important too.
Absolutely. If you're thinking of just the virginal conception, you know, here are these two women who both have a miraculous conception. Elizabeth, because she was old and had been barren all her life, and Mary, most miraculously, because she'd never had sexual relations. I do think that says something about how much activity of God is part of this story. I believe that God's involved in every action in the world, and God's at work all the time. But there are times when God seems to be more involved, or more evidently involved. And boy, in the conception of Elizabeth, which sort of paves the way or foreshadows then very, very, in a very short time, a virgin conceiving. That really highlights that these actions, this is God's action in the world. This is God with us in the conception and in the birth of this child. And when Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, what a beautiful scene, because I don't know where else Mary could have gone with the story she had. You know, I'm engaged. I've never had sexual relations, but I'm going to have a baby. And you wonder, where could she have gone where anyone would have believed her? They might have believed she was pregnant, but they wouldn't have believed she had never had sexual relations. Maybe Elizabeth's the only woman on earth at that moment who would have understood and had believed her, because she had her own miraculous conception. And so I see those two women spending those 6 months together, and really being able to encourage one another, comfort one another, and really prepare each other for what was about to happen to them in the birth of these children.
Well, it's a beautiful story filled with the most important characters, and it's the foundation of our faith. And you just did a masterful job bringing it all together in this piece. I want to encourage all our listeners to go to BaptistMessenger.com. and look for the Nativity Characters article. We've been talking to Dr. Bobby Kelly, who is Ruth Dickinson Professor of Religion at Oklahoma Baptist University. Dr. Kelly, thank you for coming on the broadcast and underlining the high points of your piece.
Brian, it's my pleasure. Thank you for the invitation to write and then to speak about it.
Blessings to you. Thanks again.
Thanks, Brian.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program in the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, visit BaptistMessenger.com or find us in the iTunes Store.